Well, good morning. May God bless each one here. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I'm also blessed by seeing the visitors here with us, and welcome to this part of the service. I need to push the pause button on the study of the apostles because I feel the need of bringing this message I want to bring today. It's not very often that I kind of know what I'm going to preach with a couple of days in advance. But through the events of the last week, a week ago, we had the ordination service, and I felt like I knew what I wanted to preach. So I think I just share that, not to toot my own horn, but maybe you can trust that the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear this message as well. Never preached this message before, so it's a brand new one. And there's no secret for our congregation here. For those of you visiting, probably it might be a new thing, but for us, there's not it's not a secret that we went through a deacon ordination here Friday a week ago, and Brother Wesley was ordained to the office of deacon. Now, Brother Wesley had received a lot of instructions through the topics that was shared prior to that, and also at the ordination. And even the congregation, we received some instructions the Sunday of the nomination service. If you remember, Brother Donnie shared with us of how should we relate to the ministry as a congregation. And the title for that message was Christian Etiquette, or how should we relate to the ministry. So there was a lot of instructions for a lot of us. And my thoughts were something like this. You know, there were other two brothers that were nominated that were not called to the office of a deacon. And there were also other brothers in our brotherhood that, in my opinion, could have been nominated as well. Now, for today, I don't want to plant any wrong thoughts or doubts in your mind, but I think we are human enough that sometimes we do struggle with where is God leading in my own life, okay? I was not called to the office of a deacon. I was not even nominated. What does God want for me in my life? And I hope this message can be an encouragement to you and not to plant doubts in your life. But the title for the message this morning is "The Lord Did Not Call Me to Be the Deacon." The Lord did not call me to be the deacon. And through, as an introduction to the message, I remember 2021, 2 years ago, I went to Pilgrim Bible School to teach a class, and I was thankful that I did. I really enjoyed, I don't know if I have ever enjoyed a class so much as I did that one. And the title was Youth and Social Identity Issues. And there were five young people from here that went along, and only one is here today. So Salome, we're going to have to help me. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to pick on you. But there were five things, youth and social identity issues. And what I was getting ready for that, I know I have shared this with you before, but I stumble across five core needs of human beings. And I'm going to write it for you on the board. And of course, you can, I'm sure this is not conclusive list. You can make it, I'm sure you could make a add to the list or subtract to the list and rearranging as well. But I just found it fascinating to find them. And one of the, these are five core needs of humans, okay? Security. Security, we all want to feel secure. That's a core need of humans. And that will answer the question, who can I trust? Who can I trust in our relationships? We need relationships with people we can trust because we have a need of security. We want to feel secure. Another need that we have is identity. And that will answer the question, who am I? Right? We struggle with that as human beings. We want to figure out who in the world am I? I don't even understand myself and what those kind of things. Identity, that's a huge need of humans. The other one is belonging. And that will answer the question, who wants me? We all want to fear that, want to feel like we belong somewhere. who wants me. And the other one is purpose. That will answer the question, why do I exist? And I want to answer that question a little bit further down the message. So I want you to be thinking about it, because I'm going to just gather a few thoughts from you. What is the purpose for us of being here on earth? Okay? And the last one is competence. Competence. And that will answer the question, I think I spelled it right, what am I good at? What am I good at? And those are five core needs that we as human beings have. Going back to the ordination deal, I want to encourage you, if you have struggled with some thoughts, okay, maybe all the feelings come to you, and especially on the last two of them, what is the purpose from God for me in this congregation? Or maybe, I don't know how far you struggle with that. I it's not like I gather a lot of feelings from you. It was even before the ordination, I kind of knew I wanted to preach this message afterwards. And maybe your security is shaken. And Papa Sim had sent a song this morning and a verse of Psalm 46. There's be still and know that I am God. We still need to trust God. God can still be trusted. Okay? God can still be trusted. Or maybe your identity. Who am I? I hope nobody is struggling with that. That simply because you were not called to the office of a deacon, that you are not a child of God. God forbid. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that to whoever received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God. So your identity in Christ has not been affected because you were not chosen for being the deacon. And as you can tell, probably we're going to have to excuse Wesley, because Wesley was the deacon. This is for the rest of us. But I'm just trying to go over this list here. And the belonging part, he has made us accepted in the beloved, right? Through the blood of Christ, we have been accepted and beloved. Maybe you remember, going back to the identity part, I preach through the book of Ephesians with identity in mind. And one of the first messages I preached there, we went through the book of Ephesians chapter 1, like Brother Edwin Eby did at the ordination. And I gave you about 7 points of what is our identity in Christ. We are purchased, we're redeemed. We are sealed with the Spirit of promise. We are in heavenly places. And I forget the rest of the list. But your identity, don't let nothing fool you. You're still a child of God. And I thought about a verse that kind of encompasses it all. It was what God said from the cloud whenever Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He said these words, that they came a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now just take a look at that verse. There was a fulfillment of all these needs in that verse. There was identity. Who was he? The Son of God. There was a belonging. This is my beloved Son. There is competence. What was he good at? He said, "In whom I am well pleased." And of course, there was purpose. Hear ye him. God had a purpose for Jesus for here on this earth. And I'm sure it was security in there as well, in this particular verse. And just a side note there, this, as parents, is a great principle for us, for our children. Make sure that your children know that they belong in your family. This has been a kind of a fairly new exercise for me to pray family devotions and thank God for each of the children in our family and that they belong here. I want my children to know that they belong there. There's no other place they belong. There is where they belong. So just in some of the other things, this is not a child training message, but it was just a side note there. And just to think a little bit more about your identity, it's amazing. Jesus said, don't be anxious over anything. He even talked about the sparrows that don't sow or they don't have combines, but they have plenty to eat. And he said, are not you more valuable than they? Now, that is translation from the Spanish, but that's what he says. And also think about the disciples. Whenever they came back and they were happy and they were excited that the spirits were being subjected to them in the name of Christ. And Jesus said, don't be happy about that or don't be joy over that, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Your identity is in heaven. That's where you need to be rejoicing. Now I have 4 points for you as an encouragement that the Lord did not call me to be the deacon. Number one, this is encouragement number one. I want you to know that we only needed one deacon. Okay? Now, I don't know if that is encouragement to you or not, but I hope it is. You know, in Acts chapter 1, whenever the apostles decided, you know what, we need to replace Judas Iscariot because he's dead. He went and hung himself, you know the story. And they decided they're going to choose an apostle. And they came up with 2 names. But only one needed to replace Judas. And of course, you know the rest of the story. They appointed 2, Joseph called Barsabbas, and whose name was Justus, and Matthias. And they cast a lot, and Matthias was ordained as the apostle. So I want to encourage you that just because you were not nominated or you were not ordained to the office of a deacon, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have work for you. We only needed one deacon. Now, that could be debatable. Some people think we should have more than one deacon, and maybe we should, and maybe that should be for the future. But for right now, we were looking for one deacon, okay? And I don't know if I should share these or not, but when I was ordained 10 years ago, I always thought there was a couple of things that changed in my thinking. You can't go through an ordination without getting affected by your thinking if you are nominated at least. But I always thought that God would choose the best. And I was very confident that it wasn't going to be me being ordained to the office of a minister because I was not the best. And God taught me something through that experience. You know what? Maybe God doesn't necessarily call the best. Now, this is not a reflection on Brother Wesley. Don't get me wrong. This is 10 years ago. Papa Sim has reminded us that God doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but enables the called one. And by the grace of God, we're still here. So, I hope that's an encouragement to you. We didn't need 20 deacons in our church. Not everybody can be ordained for the office of deacon. We're only looking for one. And God gave us a deacon. Point number two, the deacon can't do all the work by himself. Don't think that, okay, Brother Wesley is going to take care of all the work of the church. We won't wear him out, I'm sure of that, but you help is needed too. Your help is needed. I gave the motto to Wesley with that verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Whenever David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now, next verse. I want verse 21, 1 Chronicles 28:21, and he said this, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee or for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. So it's just fascinating to me. Okay, God needed And David said this, out of all the sons that God has given me, he appointed Solomon to do this work. But Solomon was not going to do the work by himself. It was tremendous work. It was a huge project. But he gave him people to work with along with him. And that is in the Church of Jesus Christ as well. The work is huge. Can we count on you? Can the deacon count on volunteers whenever he calls for a work project for someone or something needs to be done? Is there volunteers? Is there people that are willing to get to work? He can't do it by himself. Number three, another encouragement. Since God, the Lord, did not call me to be the deacon, another encouragement I want to give you is contribute what you have for the benefit of the cause. Now, going back to my points here, security, identity, belonging, probably these two of them, the purpose and the competence, needs that we have as human beings have been maybe shaking a little bit in our lives whenever we go through an ordination and you were not chosen. So my question to you is, what is the purpose for the church today? Why are we here as a kingdom of Christ? Can you share your thoughts? It don't have to be something deep, okay? What is the purpose that we have here? To be fishers of men. Very good. Locally and get on the airplanes too. To be an encouragement for each other. And to what? And I need the brethren to encourage each other. What's the other purpose that we have? Brother Leroy. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. I think Amen. Thank you, Brother Will. We can share in the offering. Well, you know that we are here to be a light to the world. And what you said is correct. But we are here to represent God on earth. Okay? We are here to be, what did Papa Sim said, a true representation of the kingdom of Christ to the world. A true representation. We are beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. That's what Brother Keith just said. We are here to evangelize. We're beggars just telling other beggars where to find bread. That is one of the main purposes of the church. So my point is this. Can't you help on this? Absolutely. Jesus did not say, I'm going to ordain the 12 apostles so they can do that work. Yes, he sent them specifically to spearhead this project. But how many were converted at the day of Pentecost? 12? No, it was over 3,000. And the kingdom of Christ was growing. And Paul said, you establish leaders and elders in every city. So this thing can keep going. So I just want to encourage you, contribute what you have to the benefit of the cause. To the benefit of the cause. David saw whenever he went to the battlefield to check on his brothers, he said he couldn't handle that nobody would go and defy the giant. He said, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause worthy to go and do risk my life for this? I love what Ephesians 4:16 says. The Bible, Paul uses the example of a body, right? How it should work. And it should be in the body of Christ. The same idea. And he says there in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is something there. You might say, well, I just don't know what to do. It's just nothing I can do. Well, can you bring something for the offering? You can do that. Every contribution to the kingdom of Christ. Don't think it's small. I'm just amazed of the machinery that we have today. You look at a combine. For those of you who are farmers, you look at a combine, this huge machine, and all the parts are compacted together in there and working and doing something. And I don't even know how they work, but they cut the whole stalk of corn. And somehow or another, in the hopper behind the cab comes the kernels of corn. And let me tell you something. There is just a huge amount of parts working together in that machine. I don't know how much it would affect it if one belt quits working. I don't know how much it affects if one bearing goes out and starts smoking at the back. I see the farmers, I guess they stop and they have to change the bearing. There's little parts there that we don't even know of that are doing something for the effectual working of this machine. Don't ever, brethren, don't ever think that your little part is not affecting the whole machine. Don't ever think about it. And I don't know if I should take the time, but I will. We have good time. I'm going good time, miracle of that. I thought about a painting you a picture or describing you a scene of the fire department. Some of us volunteer with the local fire department. And I'm going to try to describe it to you. And I want you to think, I want you to ask this question, which firefighter was the most important in the work that they did? Now, the purpose of the fire department is to protect life and property from fires. It's a pretty simple purpose that we have. To protect life and property from fires. Okay, 1 o'clock in the morning, the pager goes off. We're called for a structure fire in Bruton Lovett Road. It's a two-story house. So there's about 15 firefighters that are waking in the middle of the night at 1 o'clock. They hear structure fire. There's a family of five that live in this house, and they all are accounted for except for a toddler. And they think he's upstairs. And flames are in the house, and they cannot reach the stairs. Well, that's enough to get you out of bed very quickly, and you jump on your vehicle and take off. Five firefighters head to their respective fire stations to grab a fire engine. The other 10 of them, they rush to the scene as fast as they dare go. Of course, in the meantime, all the five firefighters go into the fire station. They get the fire engines, and they try to rush to the fire as fast as they can, navigating through the curves of Bruton Lovett Road and railroad tracks and all kinds of things. And they're trying to get this big machine, 80,000 pounds of metal and water, to the scene safely. In the meantime, the firefighters that went a lot quicker on their vehicles, they got there, and they get suited up, and they get ready to go. And they learn that in the process, the father was trying to put a ladder to the second story, and the ladder collapsed under his weight, and he broke his leg. So now we have the father injured there, and mama is yelling hysterically to get the toddler out of the upstairs. The fire engine gets there. He hardly had a chance to put the parking brake on. The firefighters that were there, they grab an air pack, a mask, and they get it suited up to go in there. The first one, the fastest one, is going to grab the nozzle and the fire hose and rush to the front door to go knock the fire out. The driver of the fire truck jumps out and helps deploy the water hose. He turns the PTO on. He turns the pump on, and he noticed which hose they grabbed, and it was the pre-connect number 2. So he grabs and he pulls the lever to get water to pre-connect number 2. That way the firefighters over there get water on their hose to put water on the fire. In the meantime, there's other three firefighters that got there, they grabbed the ladder and they put it to the second story because they think that the toddler is up there. And one firefighter runs up the ladder safely, hopefully. And he gets there and he breaks the glass of the window, and there is the toddler passed out right underneath the window. He grabs him, he brings it down the ladder. And the other two firefighters that were helping him steady the ladder, they grabbed him, they rushed him to the ambulance that just got there and said, work on this fella. I think he's still breathing. I think he is. And they work on him and they finally hear him cry. And what a beautiful sound it is for a toddler to cry, because you know if he's crying, he's breathing. On the meantime, the other firefighters are inside putting the fire out. And there's other firefighters that came and grabbed the second hose and went through the side of the house and knocked the fire that was coming out of the window. And they tried to knock the fire down. And the driver of the fire truck, he is there. The second tanker got there and he helps hook up the water supply from the tanker to the engine. That way the firefighters don't run out of water. And they work and put the fire out. They loaded dad on the ambulance and the toddler into the ambulance. And we get the fire out and we spend a lot of time putting the fire out there. And we finally, everybody goes home. Who was the most important person not there? Any guess? My point is simply this. There was something that everybody was trying to do. Somebody was doing something. Yes, we all want to be the person on the nozzle. We'd like to put the fires out. Everybody wants to do that. But guess where the water came from? Who was the one that brought the fire truck? Who brought it? I forgot one element. There's at least two firefighters from a certain station that I always thank them when we have a fire. They always bring a cooler for drinking water for the firefighters. If it weren't for them, I don't know what we would do. But they bring cold water for those firefighters that were working hard. Contribute what you have for the benefit of the cause. You see? Contribute that little bit that you have. Maybe there was a firefighter that all he did was got the cones out and went and marked a huge whale hole that was in the backyard. That way nobody falls in there. He put five orange cones. That way no firefighter will fall in the hole. Was it important what he did? Absolutely. Even though maybe they will not recognize you at the supper that they give you. You know, they're not going to give you a medal for putting five cones around the hole. But the point I tried to make is that what you did was important. Was important. Now, point number four. This is the last point, and I got a couple sub points on this. There are many other opportunities to minister. There are many other opportunities to minister. I hope that you remember that. And this is tied all together. Just because the Lord did not call you to be the deacon, that doesn't mean that there's no work for you to do. There's many ways. And I remember the one of the things, I had similar thoughts like this or this message 10 years ago. And I remember Brother Darrell Whitmer shared a lot with us, if you remember that. And he taught me a valuable lesson. He said, you know what, Henry? He said, I feel free to do what I feel God is calling me to do. You know, God kind of narrowed down for you what you need to do in the kingdom of Christ. But I feel free to do what I feel God is calling me to do. He had a vision. He had a vision and a dream to take the gospel to people that probably didn't even have the Bible translated into their own language. And guess where Brother Darrell Whitmer is today? He is in the country of Colombia doing exactly that. My point is this, that there's lots of other opportunities to minister. Turn with me to Matthew. Being kind of unusual, I'm not taking you any scripture. I have read you a couple of scriptures already, but I need you to turn to this one. Matthew 25. I'm going to read verse 33 to the end of the chapter. This is at the great judgment. is what it looks to me like. It says this, Matthew 25, verse 33, "And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and thee clothed me? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Did anybody notice there that this was for the deacons? What was my title? The Lord did not call me to be the deacon. Praise the Lord. You have work to do. There's lots of work to do, brothers and sisters. There's prison ministry. There's feeding the hungry ministry. There's clothing bundles for Ukraine, etc., etc., etc. There's visiting that could be done. We hear this a lot, that older people around our communities are lonely, are very lonely. Who's going to go? Who's going to go and visit them? Brother Wesley can be spread that thin. He'd be visiting every day of the week and still couldn't get it all done. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to what? To visit the fatherless and the widows and their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's visiting. I already gave you the list. There's service to fellow saints. You don't have to be strangers. Yes, strangers are great to keep, to give them some food, show compassion to them. I still remember when I went to Calvary Congregation, where Brother Will is from. That was the first revival meetings I held here in America. At least I had gone to Honduras before. And I was a man there that's super friendly, Brother Arlen Eshelman. He took me out to eat. Like, wow, this is strange, you know. I never done that for the evangelists before. And he made me just feel at home. He said, Strangers are friends that we haven't met there yet. Strangers are friends that we haven't met yet. That's what he taught me that time. Service to, I just think about 1 Corinthians 16:15. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Do you know that it's okay to be addicted to the ministry of the saints? That's a good addiction. Do it. Try it. I hope you get hooked on it. And you get, you just become an addiction for you to ministry to the saints. To ministry to the saints. Now, I don't know what that looks like in today's society. But I know one thing that you can do is prayer. Prayer, we don't want to minimize the power of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance supplications for all saints." And Paul says this, "And for me the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, it is a privilege to go and share God's word in other places. It is, it really is. And it feels extra strong whenever you know that there's people in the brotherhood praying for you. Always remember those that go away and preach the word. They need our prayers. They need the power of the Spirit. Because, you know, sometimes we can get distracted and talk about whatever, and we don't adhere to the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to just read you a story before I close. And this is something that you can do, even if you were not called to be the deacon of the church. You can pray. An American minister became the minister of a London church. Now, that's pretty strange to me. American minister became the minister of a London church. But that's how he was. Maybe they made fun of his accent, of American accent. Maybe he was from the South and he really got them going, of those London people and their different accent. On his first Sunday, there were several converts. He preached with power that he had never before experienced. About a year later, he was called to the bedside of an obscure member of his church, a man who was physically challenged, who told him the following story. "I should not tell you, Pastor," he said, "but I know that my time is come, and I do not want my work to cease when I go. I passed through a period of rebellion and spiritual darkness because of my poverty and lameness. It seemed that there was little that I could do for my master. But God revealed to me that he had given me the privilege of intercession. The Saturday night before you preach your first sermon, I spent all night in prayer for you. And I have done that every Saturday night since. Someone will take up the work that I'm about to lay down. I am sure of that." Now the pastor knew what has surely been the secret of his powerful preaching. The Lord did not call me to be the deacon, but he has work for you and me to do. Let us be faithful in doing what we can for the benefit of the cause of the kingdom of Christ. And may one day he receive honor and glory for what little efforts that we did. May God add his blessing.